100.3, The Biz.
Nepsis brings you this half hour of the I Work For Him radio broadcast. When you invest with clarity, you have better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online at nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
What if God has more for you at your 9 to 5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim. Who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work For Him. Join the I Work For Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work For Him Nation to Christ followers working in cities all over the United States, you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, welcome to I Work For Him this afternoon. We're so grateful that you're tuning in and listening on so many different ways, Martha. They're tuning in on the radio. They're tuning into the podcast. They're tuning in to the streaming off our website. But we want to hear from people when they're doing that.
We sure do. So one of the things, you know, this show is for our listeners. I mean, that's the whole there. You
it's
guys
not just
are the
to hear us talk.
No,
because we can
not.
Do that for free.
We do that all day long when we're not on the air, Jim. So this show is for you listeners. We love you. We care about you. And we want to know what kind of impacts the stories, the books, the people that we are introducing them to, what impact it's making. So go to our website, iworkforhim.com. Click on the contact page, and you can send us a message there. Also, you know, Jim, I mean, we're pretty much out there. I tried to get you on Snapchat today, but it wouldn't download.
We've been promising all week.
I worked on that one.
Epic fail.
So here, listeners, once I get Jim on Snapchat, somebody go find him, okay? Because I don't want him to be lonely out there. But anyway, iworkforhim.com has all of our links, our YouTube channel, LinkedIn, as well as all the other social media. I don't count LinkedIn as social media.
It is social media.
Oh, yeah,
it's
go play on
social
LinkedIn.
Social media. That's right. Hey, but thanks for tuning in all over Tampa Bay on AM 570 and 910 and FM 102.1 in Lakeland and all over Jacksonville on The Truth and Talk 100.3 in St. Augustine, Jacksonville, and Folkestone, Georgia. And, of course, the Hampton Roads area of Virginia on the Lighthouse, AM 1010 and FM 100.1. You know, what does it really mean to take God to work? Is there a specific formula to make it look right? When we get to work, why is it we're so prone to turn God off? What is that anyway? As you sit there today listening to us, and maybe some of you are running and maybe some of you are walking, but as you sit there listening to us today, are you in on mode or off mode? Did you take God to work or did you leave him at home? Or maybe are you at home and you left him in the closet? I'm not sure. But today we're going to talk with David Winters and Steve Reynolds. They wrote this book, Taking God to Work, The Keys to Ultimate Success. The book is full of so many great thoughts, so many great ideas, but one chapter dealt with something that I've never heard anybody deal with in a book recently. And I mean recently, the last 6 years, as we've done hundreds of authors on this show. How to avoid temptations in the workplace. And that's something everybody deals with. This is something that every Jesus follower deals with every day. Yet I've never read a book that blatantly dealt with it. So today, stay tuned as we all learn how to avoid temptations at work with David Winters, Steve Reynolds. Welcome to I Work For Him.
Thank you. Good to be with you today.
Yeah, we're excited.
About the topic.
Yeah, we're excited to have you guys. And, you know, as we do with every first-time guest on I Work For Him, we always ask the question, how did you become a Jesus follower? What's your Jesus story? David, we'll let you go first.
Okay, well, when I was 13 years old, my mom and the choir director at our church dragged me off to a concert at a nearby school, and there was a singer who had been a nightclub singer and gave his heart to Christ. And he got hooked up with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and they did a movie about his conversion and about his life. And when I was up there in the audience at the end of the concert part after the movie had already played, I started crying, and I really didn't know why. And I remember a voice speaking to me, and I said, "Are you God?" And the voice said, "Yes, go down front and they'll tell you what to do. And so as a 13-year-old, you know, I didn't know all the ins and outs or theology. I'd been raised Methodist up to that point, too. And, you know, I just really didn't know exactly what it meant to give my whole life and self to Christ. So I went down front, and sure enough, they gave me the same literature as if I'd been in a stadium with Billy Graham. And I thought, hey, this is that same literature I've seen on TV at his crusades. And that was really my starting point. And I am so thankful that God reached out to me, because I didn't have anything in myself that warranted or merited that. But he said, look, you're going to need me in your life, and I'm going to apply my salvation to you. And that was a big, big day for me.
Mm, that's so fabulous. Thank you for sharing that with us. So, Steve, how about you? How did you become a follower of Jesus?
Yeah, I'm so blessed and so fortunate that I accepted Christ as a child. And so I grew up in a strong Christian home, and actually got saved at an old-fashioned church revival. And we went to a country church in Appomattox, Virginia, outside of Lynchburg, Virginia. And they brought in an evangelist for the week. And back in that day, you'd go all week long and every night. And so that happened. And on that Thursday night, August 16th, 1968, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and my Lord. And I'm thankful that, although I never haven't been perfect by a long shot, but I'm thankful God helped me through a lot of things getting saved early in life. So I'm glad to be saved as a child.
So. Mm, that's fabulous. So today we're talking about a book that the both of you wrote together with Steve Reynolds and David Winters, and it's called Taking God to Work. How did you guys, your lives intersect and get to the point where you then wrote a book together?
Well, I met Steve at a men's ministry conference up in Washington, and he was talking about his other passion, which is weight loss, and he wrote a bestseller called Bod for God, and he was talking about the principles of that book, and I felt like God was trying to tell me, you need to lose some weight, man. And it worked. You know, I went to his program, got to know him as a person, and was just so blown away by his ability to just preach the scripture without interjecting a lot of other things that were, you know, just his personality or whatever. And from that, I eventually came to be a member at Steve's church, Capital Baptist. And that, you know, put us together in the same area. And God began to talk to me about writing a book about work, and I'll let Steve tell the rest of it.
Yeah, so basically, around that same time, I was, each fall we do what we call the spiritual growth campaign, and we just pick a big topic and go real deep with it. And a lot of times we actually give everybody a copy of a book. And so I was thinking about maybe using the topic of work, and so I started looking into that and researching it, and really what I found out, at least by my search, and there were really weren't many new books being written on work. And I just had this little moment of well, maybe you need to write a book on work.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I ignored that and said, well, that's something else for somebody else. And it was shortly after that David came to me and said, hey, what do you think about us writing a book on work? So at that point in time, I thought, okay, God, let's do it.
Well, what I love about the fact is that, first of all, we got the reference to you guys. Somebody that works at the Pentagon said, hey, I just read this book. Jim, you should interview these guys. So that's just so you know, people in the Pentagon are reading your book. That's either good or bad. I don't know what you guys got going on outside. You know, but the whole premise behind, okay, taking God to work is that both of you agree that it's a good idea to take God to work. So that's the premise. But at what point in time in your life, Steve, did you realize that your faith and your work should be intricately connected?
Sure. Well, early on, I mean, I think the thing that breaks my heart the most is, you know, I'm just in shock at pastors and how few pastors I'm talking to have ever even preached on this topic. I'm literally thinking it's like less than 10%. It's just staggering to me.
It's less than one, just in case you're wondering.
I've been in the same church since 1982, and I think I've done four series on work in that time. And I'm just thinking that's kind of normal. All pastors are doing that. But no, that's not true. And so basically, you know, I mean, the thing that shakes me up about that is for the longest time, I realized the Bible says you do it to the Lord, you know, whatever you do. And then the next verse says there's a reward. And I don't know how that's going to work with God, but I do know this. He's going to reward us if we'll take him to work. And unfortunately, a lot of pastors aren't training their people to know how to do that. So it's going to be a loss of reward. So,
David, what about you? Mm-hmm. Really quick, how did you make that connection between your faith and your work?
Well, I'm a little bit of a lunkhead, so it took three or four big events through my career. The first one, I was so miserable. I was living in Oklahoma, and after that, I gave my whole career to God. And then about 5 years before I retired, I was starting to have anxiety attacks, and that really brought me to my knees, helped me to realize I needed God intricately involved in every day of work.
When we come back, lots more with Steve Reynolds and David Winters talking about their book, Taking God to Work, The Keys to Ultimate Success. We'll be right back.
The Pocket Testament League provides people like us with pocket-sized Gospels of John. This month, I Work For Him will be selecting one of our new podcast subscribers to receive 250 custom Gospels, courtesy of the Pocket Testament League, providing you a great non-confrontational way to share the Gospel. To win, subscribe to the I Work For Him podcast and then post on Facebook or Twitter with hashtags I Work For Him Subscriber and Pocket Testament League. We'll select the winner on April 1st, so be sure to subscribe today at iworkforhim.com/podcast. That's iworkforhim.com/podcast.
Here's Rick Box, founder of Unconventional Business Network, with today's Integrity Moment.
Recently, I heard Judy Bertel, CEO of African Vision of Hope, speak at a business meeting. She spoke about developing a culture fueled by its mission and values. Judy mentioned she values serving others above and beyond their expectations. Judy drives her staff to push past good enough in order to exceed the expected. Exodus 36:5 reads, "The people are bringing more than is needed for the construction of the work the Lord commanded to be done." The Israelites implemented God's construction plan for the tabernacle. They did not give just to satisfy their obligation to God's plan. They gave out of their love for God. How can you move past giving what is good enough today and not just fulfill an obligation? How can you exceed client expectations?
To learn more about Unconventional Business Network and doing business God's way, visit unconventionalbusiness.org. That's unconventionalbusiness.org.
As an apartment management professional, wouldn't you like to increase revenue without raising rent? Installing individual unit water meters allows for direct billing of residents and creates a revenue recapture strategy that adds to your bottom line without increasing rent. It also lowers consumption 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been in business since 1957 and has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit Think Utility Services.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him, as Martha and I are talking with Steve Reynolds and David Winters. They wrote this book, Taking God to Work, The Keys to Ultimate Success. A buddy of mine who works at the Pentagon told me about it and said, "Hey, Jim, you should interview these guys." So I reached out, got a hold of David. He sent me a copy of the book. And when I'm looking over the book and reading the book, I came across one chapter that I'm like, whoa, we could do a whole hour on this chapter. So that's what we're going to do. The chapter was, hey, what, you know, dealing with temptation at work or avoiding temptation at work. That's what beating temptation at work. Sorry, all of a sudden I'm stumbling myself. Martha, help me out here for a second.
I don't have it in front of me.
No,
you
okay.
Guys, the authors, they could tell us probably.
Okay. So, you know, what prompted you to deal with temptation in this book? Because most books talk about the practical, the tactical, the factual, the biblical, and why we should take God to work. But you actually gave real tactical on dealing with temptation.
Sure. Well, as a pastor, I mean, two things. One is I see so many people dividing their lives up into the secular and the spiritual and thinking that the work is secular and like going to church is spiritual. But that's totally not biblical. And so I wanted to, you know, just really help people to bring that together. And then secondly, just seeing the struggle that people face at work. I mean, people succumbing to temptation and falling getting involved in sinful things. So I just wanted to help them to be able to overcome them. And to do that, a big part of that is knowing what are the greatest struggles people face.
Right.
So, David, when you and Steve came together and started working on this, was this something that you ever dealt with working as a civilian for the armed services for 30 years?
Yeah, just two or three times in the 30. No, all over the place. I mean, it's amazing as we go out into the world. You know, it's a world that's not controlled by God in every respect, and there's definitely a lot of people in it that have not yielded their life to Christ. So from just the fear and greed that hangs over a lot of workplaces to individual bad behaviors of individual people, there's a lot of opportunity to see the fallen part of human nature. And so what I really, in my heart wanted to see us do is look at the major temptations and to figure out what those were for, a given congregation. So Steve did an amazing survey of his congregation and got all kinds of input from not just them, but social media. And Steve, you can talk a little bit.
Talk about that because
thinking. Well, my primary gift is exhortation. So when I speak, I'm very practical. So I like to know, where people are because, I face certain temptations in my job, but what are other people facing? And so we run about 750, 800 typically on most Sundays. And so I, took about 3 or 4 weeks and surveyed our church. And then I have almost 5,000 friends on Facebook, and I kind of put it out there. And, it's not a scientific study by any means, but I did get, hundreds of people to give input. So I feel like it's pretty solid. We want to take each one and talk about it, what it looked like, and then come up with a remedy for it or whatever. And so that's really what this is all about.
All right. And I love that point that it's not just identifying them, but giving a remedy and how to overcome it, how to beat it per se, because that's really the part, I want to see our listeners walk away with is number one, to identify some things they didn't necessarily realize were temptations. And there's a couple here that I was like, oh, never thought of that before, but you're so right. And then being able to give some solutions, give some ways to beat it. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
You listed these top 12 in descending order. So number 12, fear. Number 11, compromising beliefs. Then stealing from the company, lying, overeating, or unhealthy eating. Or unhealthy foods. Excuse me, overeating or eating unhealthy foods. Sitting at your desk in front of your computer. That never happens. All right. Complaining, anger, laziness, cursing or swearing, misusing technology, gossiping, and the number one issue, the number one temptation people want to beat at work is sexual misconduct and romance. So, gentlemen, as we deal with these, I want to start with number one because this is the number one thing that we hear about the destruction of families being caused by romance and sexual misconduct at work. Let's talk about this. And I know that I kind of approached it in a different angle on the questions that I sent you, but I know that we need to deal with the things that are the biggest issues. And if they're the biggest issues in your congregation, they're the biggest issues in every congregation. Sure. Because, it's not like it's any.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you guys have special things going on. Well, yeah, you do in D.C. Oh, sorry.
I was afraid you were going to go there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump on that soapbox, but we know that there's issues. Okay. All right. So let's talk about sexual misconduct and romance. Talk to us about that as a temptation and what do we do with it in our workplace?
Well, it's basically very logical when you think about it. Okay. So you go off to work and what do you do? I mean, you try to put yourself to the best way you can, right? You look the best you can, you smell the best you can, you try to act the best you can. I mean, you're this is kind of like the peak of your best behavior, because you're in public and you got a paycheck and you want to do well and all that kind of stuff. And then you combine that with, okay, we've got these tasks to perform, we got these goals to accomplish, we got these projects to deal with, and so there you are working in these closed confines. Particularly men and women, and so you become very, very close, and then next thing you know, and when I'm telling this story, I've heard this story several dozen times as a pastor, so just so you know, I'm not mm-hmm. on the side of the air or whatever,
right.
And before you know it, as you're passing the paper to one another, your hand slips on the other person's hand a little too much, or unhealthy hugs, one thing starts snowballing, the way Satan operates, and so just seeing that trap, and we were fortunate to have one brave man in our church that was willing to reveal himself, and he actually told the whole church. I mean, he gave a testimony, but he has a child out of wedlock that all occurred from an affair that happened in the workplace. And we put that story actually in the book, and so I really respected him for helping us keep it real,
mm-hmm.
and he's doing a great job raising his daughter, and we're really proud of him or whatever. But this is just it's just so like 70% of affairs start in the workplace, and it makes total sense to me that it would happen that way, and. So basically, I just encourage people, just remember, God is there. Again, he's not just at the church. I mean, work is spiritual, and he's present at work. So, take him to work, bring him into the routine of your life, and then recognize, God has a plan, and also recognize Satan has a plan. I mean, just understand that, this temptation is going to come up because of what I just described, And just without being too whatever, I got a nice pair of pants and a shirt on here, and I got my hair all fixed up. I'm at the church right now. Well,
it's nice you have hair.
When I go home, I'm going to put on a pair of gym shorts, and I may put on a T-shirt that's clean or not clean, or has holes or doesn't have holes. I don't know.
So whatever. You're saying you give your wife second best clothing?
Yeah, my wife, she's going to do she'll do a little bit better, but
okay. But you talk
we're
in the book.
At home.
This
that's
chapter,
full,
this,
whatever,
Right.
This chapter is entitled. Hey, we're talking with Steve Reynolds and David Winters, who wrote this book, Taking God to Work. We're focusing on their chapter, Beating Temptation at Work. Okay, so we've talked about where the temptation comes from, the sexual misconduct, the romance temptation that comes from at work, but what are we doing to beat it? Because remembering that we're taking God to work, that's one thing, but to beat this temptation, there's some pretty proactive things. Andy Stanley would call them guardrails. There's serious guardrails, some walls that need to be built here to get this done.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says don't make provision for the flesh. So that's to me, that's all about meetings and way you handle meetings, and just honestly, you know the biggest sexual organ we have is our brain. I mean, we know when that's coming up, and even finding a trusted friend, somebody that's close enough to you that you should say, I'm a little bit attracted to this person here. I don't want to do anything or whatever. And just having some accountability in your life can go a long ways. And then mm-hmm. just remember the fruit, at the end. I mean, whatever you sow, you reap. And just trying to, for me, that's what's helped me to be sexually pure. Just remember the devastation that will happen, and, the short-term, pleasure isn't worth the long-term negative effects. And just keeping your head on straight, basically, and just thinking this thing through and realizing, how important this stuff is, and fleeing the temptation, like Joseph was in the workplace, when he with Potiphar's wife, he was actually at work, and that was his job, take care of the place there and run things, and that temptation happened right there in the workplace, and sometimes we just have to flee. I mean, it may even come to the point where you do have to actually go get another job. So, whatever it takes is what it comes down to.
Yeah, and the collateral damage from having an affair at work is it lasts not a lifetime, but it lasts several lifetimes, because if it results in divorce, it impacts your children and your grandchildren, and it may destroy the reputation of marriage for lifetimes of the people that follow behind you. Hey, you're listening to I Work For Him with your host Jim and Martha Brangenberg as we talk with Steve Reynolds and David Winters about their book, Taking God to Work, The Keys to Ultimate Success. When we come back, lots more on beating temptation at work.
The Pocket Testament League provides people like us with pocket-sized Gospels of John. This month, I Work For Him will be selecting one of our new podcast subscribers to receive 250 custom Gospels courtesy of the Pocket Testament League, providing you a great non-confrontational way to share the Gospel. To win, subscribe to the I Work For Him podcast and then post to Facebook or Twitter with hashtags I Work For Him subscriber and Pocket Testament League. We'll select the winner on April 1st, so be sure to subscribe today at iworkforhim.com/podcast.
Would you like to own your own business and honor and glorify God with that business? Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services, an award-winning, faith-based commercial cleaning franchise system, has been around for 26 years and is now offering franchise opportunities. If you'd like information on how you can be a part of a faith-based business culture while being a 100% owner of your own growing business, visit OfficePrideFranchise.com or you can call 850-291-0724. Office Pride has proven systems that will teach you everything you need to know about the commercial cleaning industry and how to scale a business in this profitable industry. Office Pride is looking for business builders. To check out this amazing opportunity, visit OfficePrideFranchise.com. That's OfficePrideFranchise.com or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride. Their values make them different. OfficePrideFranchise.com.
Condo fees always increasing? Think Utility Services can help your community stabilize the annual budget and dramatically lower costs. By installing individual unit water meters and only charging residents for the water they consume, your community can decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been helping condo communities save on utility costs for over 20 years. Call 888-MY-METER today. Learn more at thinkutilityservices.com. That's
with SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump is signing Bibles in an Alabama church and taking photos with survivors of a deadly tornado outbreak that killed nearly two dozen people. Mr. Trump is surveying the wreckage and visiting with victims on Friday. Volunteer Emily Pike says the president and first lady signed a small Bible owned by her 10-year-old daughter, Meredith Pike. Pike says, quote, "She just reached out there and said, Mr. President, would you sign this? And he did." An international arbitration tribunal is ruling that Venezuela must pay ConocoPhillips more than $8 billion as compensation for the government's expropriation of the U.S. oil giant's investments in Venezuela in 2007. The World Bank's tribunal has ruled in 2013 that the expropriation of the ConocoPhillips investments in two heavy crude oil projects violated international law. On Wall Street, the Dow fell by 23 points. This is SRN News.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. We were asked a question the other day about a store's reputation and how a customer might judge that. The first thing that came to mind was to look at how long they've been in business. Because if a store or a person is disreputable, that word will get out fast and that business won't be around very long. The second thing that comes to mind for jewelry stores, if the store has been in business a long time, there'll be a lot of folks in the area wearing jewelry from that establishment. And if they sell fine jewelry, you can best bet that those pieces have been shown thousands of times and probably passed down from one generation to the next, and a lot of people have been told where that piece came from. At Underwoods, it's our stated goal to be the best jeweler in the South, not the biggest, so everything we do and carry has to move us towards that goal. And ultimately, it's satisfied customers wearing our jewelry that have kept Underwoods in business since 1928. So come by and see us in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
This half hour of the I Work For Him show is brought to you by Sedera Health, reinventing healthcare, a high-end, affordable healthcare solution with no insurance hassles. Online at Sedera.com. That's Sedera.com.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him. We're having a great conversation about beating temptation at work. Here's a conversation. Martha, I don't know that we've ever talked about this on the air before.
Yeah, I don't think so. Other than maybe, Jim, just the things that we have talked about in the realm of Crown Financial Ministries and being a steward. And I know we've had conversations about, like, don't take home the paper clips from work, like that kind of temptation.
And we've had marriage conversations, many marriage conversations, but this one specifically, beating temptation at work. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the air with us today Steve Reynolds and David Winters. They wrote this book together, Taking God to Work, The Keys to Ultimate Success. It has all kinds of phenomenal information in it, but I kind of honed in as I'm reading this book on this is a phenomenal chapter. Yeah. They wrote a chapter called Beating Temptation at Work, and we just dealt with the number one temptation, which is sexual misconduct, having an affair, romance in a workplace. That is a temptation not just for men, but also for women, although it impacts men more than women, but it impacts both.
What do you mean it impacts men more than women?
I know it seems to be the collateral damage.
But there's two involved.
Well, so. Okay. That is true. What I meant to say is it tends to be Christ-following men. Steve, you talked about this chapter. Who do you see struggling with this more in your church, the men of the church or the women of the church?
I mean, yes. I think it's a hard question. Yes, the men. I would say that. But I mean, in today's culture, I mean, it's coming pretty close to even. I would say so.
Wow, very good. All right,
overwhelmingly men. That's for sure. It's more men, but not, you know, it's happening. Yeah.
David, what were you going to say?
Well, I wanted to jump in with this one comment about this part, and that is, you know, a lot of people, especially when they're younger in the workforce, they think romance, love, whatever you want to call it, just floats in out of the ether and that they have no control over how they feel, over what they do. And, you know, that just isn't the case. As you walk along with the Lord, you get to realize that he asks you in scriptures like Colossians 3:5, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetous, which is idolatry. Because we have a part to play. We have to guard our mind. If we start going in the wrong direction, we need to incorporate God into that struggle. Mm-hmm. Let him send you in a different direction. And, you know, those thoughts can flee pretty fast if you call on your faith, if you start your day with prayer, if you worship when you see good things happen to you at work related to your job, if you just incorporate God into what you're doing all day, it's not that hard to resist some of these temptations. So I just wanted to throw that in because I know it can feel this just happened to me. But as you get closer and closer with another person, God might be telling you, hey, this isn't your spouse. Let's draw back just a little bit and, you know, find a different friend, maybe that's not of the opposite sex or something, when you're getting into a shady area.
So I just want to let our listeners know that these authors that we have on today, Steve Reynolds and David Winters, and they wrote a book called Taking God to Work. We get to give away a copy of this book today. So if our conversation is intriguing you and you're wanting to learn more, we're only covering one chapter out of the book. And so there is so many great nuggets of wisdom in here and help for your journey at work. So give us a call on our listener line, 866-713-9675. That's 866-713-WORK. And leave me some information and we can connect with you about getting you a copy of this book, Taking God to Work.
You know, one of the things that Martha and I have done in our careers is we've always made sure our workplaces. So if I was working one place, I made sure everybody knew my wife. And Martha's always made sure everybody knew her husband. And what I know about women is that women are extraordinarily loyal to their husbands. And it only comes about the point when they've been separated and pushed and damaged and hurt that they start to look anywhere else. But if a woman knows that another man is being faithful to his wife, often she'll keep him off limits. And so I make sure that all the women in my life know about Martha. They know Martha. They know how I feel about Martha. And she's done the same thing. And that's another real proactive way to do it because the woman's psyche deals with loyalty differently than the men's psyche just gets driven by sexual hormones. So it's a little bit different. All right. So next, the number two of temptations, beating temptations at work, is gossiping. You know, I think, David, you were going to comment on this. Well, how is gossiping, how will that destroy our witness at work and destroy other people?
Well, you know, talking about other people when they're not present is really a trap. And as a professional or as a worker who wants to be the best you can be at your job, that reflects poorly on you, regardless of the spiritual angle. You know, as a manager for 20 years in government, nothing turns off a supervisor faster than if you walk into his or her office and start saying how, this is happening to that person, and they're involved in this. And, you know, if it isn't work-related, you really don't need to share it. And then if it's negative, you need to really, really make sure you have your facts straight, and also you need to have talked it over with that person. You know, there can be dysfunction on a team that requires bringing issues to light sometimes, but it's never you talking to another employee about the bad behavior of a coworker.
You know, but okay, Steve, you run a church with 700 or 800 people in it. You know, one of the biggest gossip circles is when people start sharing prayer requests. Huh? Mm-hmm. How do you stop that in its tracks in the church?
Yeah, well, I think making people aware, you know, raising it to the level of talking about it, you know, just the things that are kind of in secret or hidden. I mean, bring them to light and just, you know, raise the issue and just make sure people understand, particularly, you know, every once in a while I'll talk about that little game you can play where, you know, one person tells another person tells another, and just show how the story totally changes around. And just, I mean, it's nothing easy about it, but just, you know, the Bible talks about, warns us about, you know, communicating things that aren't true. It's really a form of lying. You're sitting here telling something you may or may not know is correct, and then you're passing on to the next person. And honestly, I mean, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's straight out of hell, that statement.
It is.
Yeah. Words hurt deeply, you know. And
where did that come from?
I love how straightforward you are because, you know, Jim and I have talked about that very saying on the air and why in the world we have that to go back to as, you know, from our childhood, because it's horrible.
It's horrible.
So not true.
I'm a straight up guy.
So, David, what are some of the proactive things that you mention in the book on ways to beat the gossip temptation?
Well, first and foremost is the golden rule that you need to treat other people with respect like you'd like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
So remembering who you are in Christ allows you to speak about other people with God's eyes on. Realize no one does anything for no reason. You know, if they're taking shortcuts, if they're, you know, not being everything you wish they could be, there are reasons for that. And some of them are personal choice, but some of them are also difficult circumstances at work. And so we need to look behind the outward behavior to how we can really love people. And that gets into one of the major themes of our book, which is you can transform your workplace. You know, you're not stuck in a place that's static and can never change. You can have a tremendous impact if you start to head off and slow down the negative behaviors of your coworkers. And frankly, if you can help God to make your workplace a more righteous place just by promoting healthy alternatives, like mentioning how positive someone's outcome was on a given project, promoting those around you as opposed to trying to denigrate them, thinking that that's somehow going to make you look better to the boss.
Yeah. So I want to just remind our listeners that if this conversation is intriguing and you are in a workplace where you would like to be a conduit for some transformation, call our listener line and get a copy of this book we're talking about today. It's called Taking God to Work by Steve Reynolds and David Winters. And our phone number is 866-713-9675, 866-713-9675. work. So let's talk about this temptation of misusing technology, because I can guarantee you that most of us in some form or another of our workplace are exposed to technology. So, Steve, what is this whole temptation, and give us some ways that we can avoid that?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think, you know, as we know, it can be as, you know, simple as spending time on social media and not doing your job. And particularly, you know, when it comes to, you know, at least in this area, a lot of people are, you know, are able to work from home and things like that.
Right.
Even in the workplace, I mean, people are spending time there, and that's really a form of stealing. And then it runs all the way over to, you know, looking at pornography and things you shouldn't be looking at. So I think a lot of that has to do with just, you know, making integrity a big part of your life, and just realizing that, you know, that it is stealing. You know, a lot of people don't think
right.
So many people are doing it. You know, the big thing about taking God to work is that, you know, you're working for Him, and whether somebody sees or doesn't see or knows or doesn't know, whether the boss is there or not there, it really doesn't affect anything. You know, because we're taking God to work. Whatever we're doing it to Him. So I think just realizing the sacredness of you know, the media, and yes, it's been a wonderful thing that we can use in such a positive way, but it's also something can be used in a destructive way. And just realize the, you know, the power of media, and then even come to the point of just, you know, accountability with people. And you know, when it comes to pornography, there's lots of tools out there to help people, you know, to be able to see what you're looking at and things mm-hmm. like that. But just really taking it serious, because it's. I mean, it's no doubt about it. It's right up there next to sexuality. I mean, it really is, and gossip. I mean, these three run really tight together when it came to the survey.
So I just have a really quick question. Is it stealing of time? Is that where you see the stealing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as far as I know, not many people have on their job description to look at their Facebook or whatever.
That's exactly right. I am sure
the most of us, including me, are a little bit addicted to that and things like that,
yeah.
You know. And so we just have to be honest about that and just realize that. Mm. And the big thing is, I mean, culturally, I mean, you know, it's one of the things almost everybody's doing. And there are certain jobs that, you know,
they
don't let you have
being honest.
And things like that. But
hey, we come back, lots more from Steve Reynolds and David Winters about taking God to work, beating temptation at work. We'll be right back on I Work for Him.
As an apartment management company, are you charging market rent but seeing decreased profit? Turn the trend around by installing individual unit water meters and billing residents for what they consume. Lower property water consumption 20 to 40% and put utility costs back in the bank. Think Utility Services, in business since 1957, has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com.
More than 40 top cultural leaders will be convening in Washington for the 2019 Culture Shapers Summit, March 28 to 31, and will feature national leaders in business, government, arts and entertainment, education, media, the family, and the church. Some of these include actress Roma Downey, radio talk show host Hugh Hewitt, Family Research Council's Tony Perkins, Pastor A.R. Bernard, Lance Wallnau, Oz Hillman, and many more. The goal of the Culture Shaper Summit is to help you understand the signs of the times as it relates to where we are in the culture and what you can do to be a catalyst for influence for Christ. Join us March 28 to 31 right here in Washington to get equipped, engaged, and transformed. Are you concerned with the direction of our nation? If so, you need to be at the 2019 Culture Shaper Summit. Learn more at cultureshapersummit.com. That's cultureshapersummit.com.
The Pocket Testament League provides people like us with pocket-sized Gospels of John. This month, I Work for Him will be selecting one of our new podcast subscribers to receive 250 custom Gospels courtesy of the Pocket Testament League, providing you with a great, non-confrontational way to share the Gospel. To win, subscribe to the I Work for Him podcast and then post to Facebook or Twitter with hashtags I Work for Him subscriber and Pocket Testament League. So be sure to subscribe today at iworkforhim.com/podcast. That's iworkforhim.com/podcast.
Hey, welcome back to I Work for Him. Having a great conversation today. I'm talking about beating temptation at work, something we don't talk about very often. And there were top top 12 temptations that people are struggling with as congregations were polled out there in the Washington, D.C., greater Washington, D.C. area at Steve Reynolds Church. Taking God to Work is the name of the book. Steve Reynolds and David Winters wrote this book together. David, I want to go to you for a second, because we're not going to be able to get through all these 12. We're only going to deal with probably one more on the show.
We want them to read the book.
I want you guys to read the book, so call in and get a copy of the book. 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK. All right, David, was there ever a time, was temptation ever an issue for you in your workplace in the military?
Well, absolutely. I think a variety of temptations over a career tend to plague people. When you're new, you might be tempted to lie about things that make you look bad. You might try to cover up mistakes you've made. I think that that's very important phase to grow out of. Some people never grow out of it in their career, but any kind of dishonesty is going to come back and eventually bite you. You really need to.
Okay, wait. But I asked the question. No more ethereal answers. I want to know about you. What did you struggle with? Well, what was something that you had to overcome beating temptations at work?
Well, that was absolutely one that, the first 5 years of my career was a problem. Secondly, I moved to Chicago about 5 years into my career as well. And at that point, I was in a new city. There was all kinds of temptation related to work. But I had a young lady friend that I had moved there with. And keeping that relationship on track, because, she was just a friend from work in Oklahoma. She found the job in Chicago first. And, it took some effort on my part to not socialize with her outside of work, to keep it on the straight and narrow. And it wasn't like it was out of my holiness and close relationship with God. He cut things off between us three or four times that could have really gone in the wrong direction. But one thing he allowed me to see was if I was going to be alone with her outside the office, that was going to be a problem. And I think when I first was in that situation too, not married, not really in a relationship, going on travel was a gigantic temptation for me.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was of the opinion I could have a drink or two on the road. Different people have different thoughts about that in Christianity. I'm not advocating one way or another. I'm just saying that for me, that opened up all kinds of vulnerability for me.
Sure.
Not just coworkers, but random people you'd meet. And there's a lot of lonely people staying in hotels and motels around the world. So it's not a good environment if you don't really bring God with you on the road when you take him to work as well.
That's so true. And, one of the things I love about this list is it's very practical, and I think all of us can relate to it, but we may not have the right tools for how to beat these temptations. So I'm excited that you guys wrote this book, and there's so many other chapters that deal with it too. So, Steve, just real quick, As I read through the list of temptations, I was kind of shocked that I had never thought about overeating or eating unhealthy foods as being like a temptation or wrong, in the workplace. That just was a whole new way of looking at things for me. And I, of course, am guilty of bringing baked goods almost everywhere I go and probably being a horrible temptation for not only myself and Jim, but for others. So just speak to that real quick in light of, we know that this is a real passion for you as far as being healthy.
Yeah, I wrote a book called Bod for God. That's probably what I'm best known for. So, so basically, the question earlier was, what temptation do you struggle with? Well, that for work and everywhere else, that's been my temptation. I love to overeat and underexercise, and so I got up to around 350 pounds, almost 350, and that had blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, you know, I was a sick man. And God helped me to, you know, through his word to get that under control, and I've lost over 100 pounds, and I'm disease-free now. And
excellent.
So basically the principle is the food gets near you, it gets in you. Yeah. And so basically a lot of it is controlling your environment. And so when the candy jar is there, and I'm sure your baked goods are wonderful, and maybe one day I'll get to enjoy one of those. Whatever, you know? But I do know if it gets near me, it's going to get in me. And so in the workplace, it's very common to have the donuts and and things like that lying around. And you know, here I'm in church, and that, you know Christians, we're the most overweight people.
Fellowship. It's called fellowship in church.
Yeah, it's a potluck, right?
Right.
And so we just have to realize, you know, moderation and, you know.
And avoidance.
Yeah, and avoid, you know, again, the principle is if food gets near you, it gets in you, and that's based on don't provide for the flesh in Romans there. So I think we do have to realize it that way. And, you know, those people are addicted to sugar, and you're at work, and you're tired, and, you know, you just want something to give you a quick jump start or whatever.
Get you through the day.
A lot of people turn to those things. So
it is definitely a big deal. All right, I want to deal with another one that's on the list. It came up as number 12 on your list. But, you know, David, fear is on that list. How is fear a temptation for people at work?
Well, when you go out to your job, you get a comfort zone with your office, perhaps. But from time to time, there'll be changes, special projects, things that will happen that will throw you out of your normal routine. For me, I'm acrophobic. I'm afraid of heights. I don't really like going up in high places. But I worked in buildings that had the top management on the top floors. And luckily in Washington, that's the 11th or 12th floor. If I was in New York, might have been the 100th floor, you know. So I really had to bring God into that struggle. Mm. Then, you know, he has given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I had to believe that his love trumped my fear. There were times where I was close to having panic attacks at work, and eventually I took a 5-month sabbatical. That was my first book, Sabbatical of the Mind, The Journey from Anxiety to Peace. And it was that struggle that really brought me into a new realization that my role was to love my employees. If my focus was on them, on making sure they had the resources they needed, that they had the environment they needed, that they had the advice they needed, then all that focus went off of me and my fears and my problems. And God really made me a different manager those last 5 years by showing me that the manager's job is to care for and love his or her employees first. Yeah. Everything else has to get done, but it's important.
All right. So I love that. And the fear, so many people deal with so many different kinds of fears. And it is when we start to fear, we start to really deny and ignore the attributes of God. When we start to just say, well, God can't handle this. So we start to fear. That's just one of those big issues. But I want to get this question answered from you guys before we go. Because a lot of people have succumbed to temptation at work, whatever it may be, whether it was a sexual temptation or gossiping or misusing technology, cursing, laziness, anger, complaining, overeating, lying, stealing, compromising your beliefs, fear, whatever it may be. How do we recover from those big mistakes? You know, we've beat the temptation the next time, but the first time we didn't. How do we recover from that, stay at our work, and still live out our faith in our work? Who wants to take that answer?
I'll take it. Well, I think own it, number one. Just recognize, hey, you know, I made a mistake, you know, and not blame shift and don't make excuses or whatever. And then I think just do your best to fix it. It's fixable, you know, to any degree, you know. Maybe it's fixable to a great degree, or maybe it's fixable to just a little degree. But whatever you can do, you know, to make it better, you know, be willing to do that. And then, you know, learn from it. Just learn that, fail forward, you know, the old saying goes. Just, you know, make – Basically, it was education.
Right.
Whatever price was paid, maybe it was time, maybe it was money, maybe it was energy. Who knows?
I want to give David a chance to put his answer in there. David, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to – that was perfect from Seabrook, but I just wanted to add that realize everyone around you has made mistakes too. And so if you're upfront about it, if you do own it, if you are trying to recover, people will get on your side and come alongside you as you rehabilitate yourself.
So great answers. Own it, fix it, learn from it. It just, and be real. I found that if you could just be real and say, listen, I screwed up. I apologize. I ask your forgiveness. Steve Reynolds, David Winters, thanks for sharing your book, Taking God to Work. Thanks for talking about beating temptation to work. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Great conversation. Make sure you check them out online. Get a copy of the book, Taking God to Work, 866-713-9675. You've been listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers, our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for Him.
FM 100.3, W262 AG, Jacksonville, WJBT HD3, Callahan, Talk 100.3 FM.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialist on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
A Minnesota college took the unusual step of drafting a 4-year-old disabled boy for their football team, part of a nationwide program that links medically challenged kids with a collegiate sports team. The program can't cure a child's disease, but it can definitely make a challenged kid feel special. We could describe such a program with a single word, kindness. Whether it's a nationwide program or an individual effort, a simple act of kindness can make another person's day. God has been kind to us, and His Word encourages us to be kind to others. Watch for an opportunity today to share God's kindness with someone in need. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life and discover God's kindness on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.